wide open for you. First hour was nice and easy. Second hour is open. I'm Jim Rome, broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Josh Hart of the LA Lakers coming up next hour. The week that was next hour. The ATP next hour. This hour is your hour. It's wide open. I'm not here next week. You cannot qualify for the Smack Off next week. You can't do it without me. So actually, you should try and do it this hour. You have the number. Use it. You know where to find me on Twitter. Do that. You know how to get me via email. Do that. Now, the one thing you're not going to let go, apparently. I mean, you're not letting it go, are you? Personal appearance. You know it's not show fodder. You know I'm not going to entertain that. You know I'm not lowbrow like that. I mean, I don't know what you think I am or what the show is about, but it's not about that. I've made that so clear. I did it once before on 11-11-11. I said that on 11-11-11 at 11-11 Pacific, I would do it for 11 seconds. But that doesn't stop all of you for trying to wedge it into a 7-7-17. Come on, Rome. Just do it 7-7-17 for 17 seconds at 7-17. Yeah, except it's 10:03. You already missed the opportunity. And it doesn't work. PST does not work, but you're just not going to let it go. Eric Grand Rapidian tweets, I've written personal appearance smack as show fodder day onto 2-2-22 and 2-22-22 in my calendar. Hashtag can't wait. See, that's a new thing. Same. This guy did the same thing. Sean Rohasic. Already have 2-2-22 and 2-22-22 circled. Can't wait. Chris Gilry tweets, 777-777-7, hashtag Kevin Garnett. 777-777. Get it, Alvy? Get that, Alvy?
Position. He wasn't.
Can you play along, Alvy? Can you keep up with this little guy? 777-777-7.
Position. He wasn't.
You know, like the number of kids you have. Come on, Alvin.
Dude.
Put your head out, man. Wake up. Steve PHX tweets 7-7-17. No, no, yes. Signed K Winger. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. And almost assuredly, we're not doing it on 2-2-22 or 2-22-22. But here's what I can do for you. I will take you back. I will take you back to this show on 11-11-11 at 11-11 for 11 seconds. Here is what I allowed. The last time that I allowed it on the program and never to be allowed ever again. Personal appearance as show fodder on 11-11-11 at exactly 11-11 for exactly 11 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 11-11-11. Aw, hell yeah.
This Kelly Clarkson now outweighs by 60 pounds, Bam Bam Bigelow.
I want to put Jim Tressel in the Rat family.
How can you ever talk about Pete Carroll looking like the coach of the women's soccer team? You put a split shot of them and they're identical.
I'm drunk, Jimmy. I'm at work. I'm drunk. I'm throwing confetti and I'm drinking with the fat chick in the next cubicle who coincidentally has a size 11 shoe.
Doggy dog, I just want to say Andrew Bynum looks like Gary Coleman if he got his wish. Can you see him trying to break the huddle saying, what you talking about?
I wanted to bring up the fact that Romeo Crennel looks kind of like that monster on Candyland that sits in the middle of the board and eats your pieces. And I'm sure he has giant Hershey Kiss nipples.
Trust me, a big part of me just died during that segment. Did you enjoy that? You've had your fun. That's all you get. That's all you get. That was 11-11-11 at 11-11 for 11 seconds. Personal appearance smack as show fodder. Never again. Stop tweeting me about this. That's it. Now we're done. Back to the show. Let's keep moving. Oklahoma City Thunder guard Andre Roberson is having himself a week now. On Wednesday, he reportedly agreed to a 3-year, $30 million extension. And according to TMZ, he celebrated that deal by hitting up a cantina in Austin, Texas. He reportedly racked up a nearly $490 bill. Why the hell not? The guy's making $10 million a year now. He signed a $30 million contract. An extension. So why not go out with your guys and have a nice meal? Nearly $490. So you know that if you're going to run up a tab for $490, that a big tip has to be coming, right? Wrong. In fact, you could not be more wrong. According to TMZ, the bill was $487.13. Robertson then tipped $13.97. That's right, $13.97. I'll even do the math for you. That is a 2.86% tip. He tipped under 3% on a bill that was nearly $490. Hey, look, I'm not into tip shaming. I'm not into tip shaming, but that tip is flat out shameful. $13.97 on a $487 check. Tipping less than 3%. That's disgraceful. Look, I know this guy's rep, and the rep is he's stingy on defense. But he should not be stingy when it comes to tipping. Not in this day and age, because you know servers will have no problem busting you up on social media for being a miser. And that's exactly what happened. This is a guy who had been famous for two things: incredible defense and terrible shooting. Now he's famous for three things: hitting 25% from three and tipping 3% on a bill. You tell me what's worse, Andre Robertson shooting or his tipping? Tie for last. Actually, his math is the worst part of all, because apparently he was looking to round up to 500, and he missed by $1.10, dropping $13.97 instead of $12.87. Or maybe that was him being generous. You know, a tip on top of a tip. So somebody with this very catchy handle busted him up. At Dave Rowe, 742-94058, tweeted, quote, "Get paid $30 million for 3 years and tips this. You're trash." Now, Robertson fired right back. He fired right back, quote, "Shouldn't have had to tip you. It was just a bottle at a bar. There was no service. Now, I can see if it was a club. You reaching, bro." End quote. Hey, look, I don't know if at David Rowe, 742-94058 is reaching, but I know who's not reaching: Andre Robertson for his wallet. Dude is never going to get caught reaching in. Look, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but as always, Andre, if you're explaining, you're losing. If you really believe what you were saying, then why are you tipping at all? Honestly, no tip is better than tipping less than 3%. At least then you could say, you could lie, you could say that it was a mistake when you get caught on social media, instead of having to try to justify what happened. Honestly, stiffing the guy altogether, leaving no tip, would have been so much better than leaving 2.86%. Because you could have just said, oh, my bad, an oversight. And speaking of explaining, I can't believe that I have to explain how to handle this situation again. Because even if you're right, and you think that because you're just buying a bottle at the bar with no service, you should still tip if you're Andre Robertson. First of all, everybody knows you just signed a fat contract. And they know for how much, and they know for how long. And then with that comes a certain expectation. This is how it works. I don't write the rules, but I suggest you follow the rules. Because while that may not be fair, they are real. And when folks tip shame you on social media, that sticks forever. You could tip out now 30 to 40% everywhere you go for the rest of your life, and it won't matter. It will not matter, because they're not going to remember that, but they will remember the 2.86 that you dropped on somebody just days after signing a $30 million extension. This has already done more to damage his rep than a 20% tip would have done to his wallet. Can I restate that? This is really important for everybody to remember. That's already done more damage to his rep than a 20% tip would have done to his wallet. You can't tell me that he wouldn't spend $100 right now to make this whole thing go away. Hell, he'd probably spend $1,000. But now it's out there and it's going to stick. You can't make it go away. Ask Scott Pippen. Ask Peter Sampras. The bad tip rep sticks to you the way you stick to opponents. Take Stucknut. Even Stucknut was all over it. Stucknut tweeted, if your last name has Rob in it, you better be a good tipper. Yeah, I said it before, I'll say it again, old Steve-O. Steve-O speaks the truth. And then as the social media storm was growing, old Rob tried the old Marcus Jordan. You know, the anyway, what's poppin' Twitter approach? So he tweets, in other news, where is at Enos Kanter and at real Steven Adams these days? Hope you're doing good, Brodies. And then Adams incredibly responded with, and I quote, we just out here tipping more than $13. His own dude just crushed him. It's not going away anytime soon, Andre. It's just not. Should have just tipped out. Whether you thought that it was earned or not, whether you thought there was service or not, just scratch the 20% and none of this is an issue. And we're not talking about it. That's not worth $100 to you? Come on, man. 2.86%. And right after he signed a $30 million extension, there's no way around it. I cannot believe that's still a topic. And we still get into that. But we do. Still ahead. Let me check out the phone screen before I go. Let's see. Don't want to talk to that guy. Have no need for that guy. That guy's not getting on. This guy will. There is at least one guy that will for sure get on next segment. Hey, look, that's not cruel. I didn't mention any names. Parody Larry. Hey, Matt in L.A., what's going on? Hey, Matt, you don't know if I'm talking about you or not. If I go to you next segment, you'll know you're good. Yeah, this whole service industry thing, a lot of these folks in the service industry do not make as much in base because they're getting paid theoretically in tips. This is how they survive. This is how they make their money. On tips. So recognize that. And even if you have no empathy for that, at least in terms of self-preservation, don't be that guy. Nobody wants to be that guy. It's a terrible rep to have. All right, stay with it. When we come back, guaranteed phone calls. Well, guaranteed phone call. And hopefully more than one.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You get the sense that some of you our team, Andre Robinson. No names mentioned. Hawk. I don't know, Hawk. I wasn't there. I don't know if that was just Keith just running you under the bus or if you really are team that guy. I'll say it again. I wasn't there. I'm not exactly sure what went down. His argument seems to be that, look, they brought me a bottle. There was no service involved. They brought me a bottle. And my point is, even if you're right, you're still wrong. It's just not worth it. It's almost like you're buying insurance on your good name. It's just not worth it. Pay the $100. If you're that rich and you're that prominent and you know there's going to be a server who's going to annihilate you on social media before you even get out of the restaurant, is that really worth it? Look, if you want to stand your ground, even after having a $30 million day, fine. That's on you. If you are that strong in your conviction, me, again, I've got two things to say about this. Number one, I'm not. It's not worth it to me. You know, I got enough to deal with in terms of, hey, Rome, your show sucks. Hey, Rome, you're the worst. Hey, Rome, I hate your guts and your takes. That's all part of it. I get that. But you know what the one thing you cannot say about me? You're a cheapskate and a horrible tipper. Because that'd be an even worse thing to say about me than your show's horrible. Your takes are horrible. Your interviews are horrible. I can't believe they still have you on the air. I'd rather you say that to me all day long, like some of you do, then you're a bad guy who doesn't tip. And then number two, the second thing is, again, I've got empathy for the service industry. You don't have empathy for anybody who busts their ass at their job with a good attitude. That's what I have empathy for. We were in Montana one summer, and man, it was pouring in the middle of summer, pouring, and it was raining so hard that I found this little coffee hut, a drive-through coffee hut. I loved it. And I bought a cup of coffee from this gal. She was, without question, she must have been 16, I guess, the happiest, nicest person I think I've ever met in my life. I mean, she was so enthusiastic and so into the job. Hi, how are you? What's going on? What are you going to do today? What can I get? I mean, it was such an amazing experience that, you know, for that $1.14 cup of coffee, I gave her $20. And she just was, then she was so happy. But I was, that's my thing. If you're enthusiastic and you're working hard and you try hard at whatever your job is, especially a service industry, you should probably recognize that. You don't need to tip somebody $20 on a dollar bill. But I sure as hell wouldn't tip them $13 on a $490 bill. And again, that's not even a case where he's saying, can I tell you something? That guy had a really bad day. That waiter or that waitress, rude, obnoxious, couldn't find them, wouldn't fix it when we had a problem, worst guy ever. I'm not hearing that. What I'm hearing is there was no service involved. I bought the bottle, so it didn't require a tip. And you know what I'm saying to that even? Fine. You may in fact be right. You might be right, but you're still wrong. Because look at what we're talking about now into a second segment on this show. For $100, you make that go away. And if you had a $30 million day, you probably want that to go away for $100. Romanowski, quote, so I was a little off with my numbers. Listen, you do the math, I'll do the Alfredo. Signed, Roberson.
Okay, so I've done the math on this never-ending pasta bowl. 42 different sauce and pasta combinations.
Oh, you do the math, I'm doing the Alfredo.
At least 50 of you morons have come in with that already. You're not the first one to think of that. Stop sending me that. Ken got his red because he was first. He writes, unwar people who pull out a tip calculator cheat sheet when the bill comes. Hey, listen, I'm no mathematician, but that whole thing's not real hard, right? 10% is easy, no matter what. Cut it in half, you got 15. Or if you're feeling it, double the 10, you got 20. You don't need a calculator for that. Double. Ed Rich in the 970 tweets, you want a tip? Buy low, sell high, and don't eat yellow snow. Regards, Andre Robertson. See what I mean? Andre, wouldn't it have been so much easier just to give the 20%? Especially after a $30 million day? Just make that whole thing go away? You know, again. Hey, Rome, how do you think these guys get rich? By saving their money. Yeah, but not by being miserly cheapskates. They're great. S-Y-M, save your money. You can do both, right? You can recognize a job well done and save your money. Or you can save your money and tip the appropriate amount. See where this guy comes out, because everybody always seems to have an opinion on this topic when it comes up. And the good news is, it'll come up again. Somebody will make the same mistake. Despite what I just delivered as a perfect PSA, it will happen again. Let's go to Calgary. Bob in Calgary. Good to have you, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rome?
Great.
I make $130 a year. I golf 5 times a week, and each time I give the guy who puts my golf clubs on the cart $20. This Andre Robertson is one cheap mother.
Rack him. All right, Bob. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for, man. The guy to take. He got right to his take. He let us know how much money he makes. He let us know how often he plays golf. And he let us know what he tips the guy who puts his carts up or his clubs up. $20. And then he tagged it with Andre Robertson is a cheap mother. You forgot about your trophy wife, bro. How big is your house? What kind of car do you drive? How much do you have in the bank? Now check that. Not how big is your house. How many houses do you have? That was awesome. My man. I make $130. I play golf 5 times a week. What is that? Is that passive income? How do you make $130 and play 5 times a week? My man's got this thing wired. Wired. What kind of job enables you to make $130,000 a year while at the same time playing golf 5 times a week? Good work if you can get it. All right, anyway, that's how he felt about that. Come on, man. I pay the guy who puts my clubs up more than that guy does. And he's a multimillionaire. Anybody else want to share their thoughts on this story? Hey, look, I'm not here to kill this guy. I'm here to save anybody else trouble going forward. Do you think he did the right thing? Is he right when he says, there's no service involved? They brought me a bottle. Again, I think you're much better off drawing a circle with a line through it or doing nothing at all and not tipping, because then you can just argue that I thought it was like takeout. I didn't know there was services or a tip or gratuity involved. Better that than to tip under 3%. because it looks like he knew exactly what he was doing because he was trying to round it to 500. Let's go to San Francisco. Dave in the Bay Area. You are next, Dave. How are you? What's going on?
Good, brother. Hey, on this whole tip thing, look, I am a choreographer by day, so I make like $20,000 a year. But my diet consists of getting Crunchwrap Supremes, man, at least every other day. Cost me $4.36. Guess what I do? I give the guy $5. When he says, here's your change, I say, keep it, bro. I just don't understand these guys. You know what I'm saying? I'm out.
I know what you're saying. And you know what I'm saying? I'm saying you're a freaking boss. You're a freaking boss, bro. You make $20,000. You go to the bell. And then when they ring you up, you drop a $5 bill on that guy and you say, keep it, bro. Keep it. Like a freaking boss. That's what I'm saying. Listen, the thing about service, I'm not saying that if you get crappy service, if you get horrible service, if you have somebody serving you who hates their job, who hates their life, they never come back and ask you if you want a refill of your coffee, if they're just flat out miserable, I'm not saying that even if you're an athlete, you drop 15 or 20%. That, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, however, if you are a celebrity, a person of means, and you have a ton of money, and somebody's doing their job in the service industry, you should acknowledge that. And you should tip what's standard fare. You should give them their 15%. You know, maybe you're one of those people that goes 20%, no matter what, if you get good service. So I'll be very clear about that. I'm not saying that if somebody's an a-hole and not doing their job, you have to give them 15 or 20%. Not at all. But I'm saying if they are, why wouldn't you? Especially if you're rich. Sarah T is in. Sarah T says, you're supposed to tip on takeout orders too. Anyone who doesn't is a loser. All right, see, that's, we can get into that. I'm just saying I could see where there might, I don't disagree with you, Sarah. In fact, I agree with you. But I'm one of those guys who, I just tip all the time. Because I don't want people saying this about me. And I respect people who work hard, no matter what they do. But I'd even listen to the argument about takeout that, now wait a minute, what's the policy on that? Do we tip on takeout or not? What's the protocol? What's the etiquette? There's a conversation there, and there might even be confusion there. Looking at this guy in this case, there's no confusion because he went right online to defend what he did. He wasn't confused. He knew exactly what he did. See, you can keep up this debate if you want. Otherwise, I'm going to keep moving. I want to talk about the Nationals. I want to talk about that scene at Wimbledon yesterday. I want to talk about the Cubs getting beaten again. The highlight of the Cubs season thus far is their center fielder pitching a scoreless ninth in another beatdown. Dodgers come back big. More on the smack-off. Josh Hart of the LA Lakers coming up. The ATP next hour. Come to find out, there is a Twitter contest. Hey, Alvy, when were you going to get around to letting me know about that? Dude, why don't you just get off my ass today? What's going on, man? It's your getaway day, boss. What's your problem? You got a week off, man. Why are you taking it out on me, man? Get off me. You're right, Alvy. I apologize. It's all good. Either way, the best tweet's going to get a $50 gift card from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, you're going to get, free of charge, an unbelievable sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely brutal scene at Wimbledon yesterday involving American tennis player Bethany Mattek-Sands. That's coming up in a moment, but you know what? I'm going to take a telephone call. Instead of going right to a long rant, let's go to what probably will be a very short call. Or maybe not. Maybe not. I know this guy. This guy's been racked before. He's also been run before. So you never know what you're going to get. One way to find out. Let's go to Houston. Jerome in H-Town. Jerome, what's going on? How are you?
Romy Rome, how's it going?
Good, bro. What's up with you?
Well, I tell you, I'm a little upset about the Rockets, you know, talking and laughing about tips. Here's a tip for Daryl Morey. What in the world are you doing bringing Chris Paul in here when we already have the number one playoff fail in the history of the NBA? And you're bringing Chris Paul in, who's the number two playoff fail in NBA history, and you're going to put them together. you might as well just get your gas cans, your nukes, line them all up, fire them all up, and blow that sumbitch up, as my buddy in the Pearland, old Bodie, would say. What in the world are you thinking? It's disgusting. There's no chance they'll be eliminated from the playoffs 2 weeks before the regular season's over. Yeah, and we'll probably still have the best regular season record, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about the playoffs, and I can't believe they did that, Rome. It's disgusting. I can't believe it. The only other thing that's almost as disgusting is all these baby clones coming in the jungle, imitating the legends, trying to get these golden tickets. Oh, be this guy, that guy. What in the world are you doing? You got three silks. You got silk, fake silk, and the other fake silk. You got a couple guys trying to be Jeff and Richmond. Come on, I do not declare. And at least two cats, one in Salt Lake City, and you got another dude in San Antonio, not the main dude in San Antonio, but the other dude trying to be Vic and NoCal. Vic and NoCal. Here's my question, little baby clones. Do you think Vic and NoCal sat around one day and said, yup, yup, today I'm going to act like a trapper, yup, yup, and tomorrow if that don't work, I'll be Shawnee the Cavalier Nation. No, they didn't. You know what they did?
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
No,
I don't like
that no idea call. What they did. Not just as I have call. No idea what you meant. Did you say that? Like the Rockets would have the best record in the West, but eliminated from playoff contention 3 weeks before the end of the regular season? That makes no sense. Listen, I understand the rap against Chris Paul. I understand that the guy's never even made it to the conference finals, much less the NBA finals. I know the guy's been rapped as somebody who can't win the big one. I also know that he's still one of the best points in the NBA, and he's a surefire Hall of Famer, and he's going to make you better, not worse. And that he and James Harden do want to play together. I like that move. I like that move for the Rockets. You can crack on them if you want for some other things, but to me, not for that. Daryl Morey said he had something up his sleeve, and he did. So I do like the move. In terms of the, quote, baby clones, look, you do make one good point. Three silks is probably two more than we need. Although fake silk did make me laugh.
Come on.
If we're being really straight about that, this guy shows up, and for about 3 or 4 seconds, I bought it. I thought that it was him. And then when I realized that, dude, this is just some dude imitating Silk, that hit me as really funny in that moment. My man, Silk. How you feeling today, kid?
Hey, bro. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Silk?
I'm doing good. Hey, I just wanted to say before we get this thing going, I called Joe Palmieri of Studies, the hot dog king of Maine. Come on.
That's not a good call. No.
So you got to admit, that was pretty funny.
You don't like that call.
At first glance, you'd say, Rome, how did you not know that it was that guy? I don't know. You know, maybe it was the day. Maybe it was one of those days where I was kind of like half dialed in, half dialed out. I don't know. I really don't know. But for the first 2 or 3 seconds, and because it was Silk, I knew, or I thought that I knew what I was going to get. And maybe seemed a little bit off it, but then I thought, maybe the guy's hungover. Maybe the guy's under the weather. I really don't know. But 3 or 4 seconds in, I knew that it was not him, and that made me laugh.
Come on.
But we don't need a third fake Silk. We don't need three Silks.
Bruh.
That's the original. You have Silk, you have fake Silk, and then you have fake Silk. Who is Zach?
Info Mercer Zach.
All right, so there was an absolutely brutal scene at Wimbledon yesterday. Bethany Mattek-Sands suffered what sounded like a horrific knee injury during her second-round match. She comes to the net in the third set and goes down, crumbles to the ground, clutching her right knee in obvious pain. From there, the top-ranked doubles player in the world waited and waited and waited for medical attention that seemingly was not going to come.
Darren Mattek-Sands coming into net, grabs her knee and goes down.
Yeah, this does not look good. She's been on the ground for a while.
Help me, please.
Now, this is first game of the third set.
I mean, are you kidding me with that? My thanks to ESPN for that sound. I mean, that looks so much worse than even it sounds, and that sounds horrible. Yo, first aid tent. Whenever you get to it, whenever you're ready, there's a professional athlete lying in a heap screaming like her knee just exploded, which it probably did, and not a single person getting off their ass to do anything about it. You heard her audibly, pretty clear. Help me. Come help me, please. My knee. F-bomb. Help me. Help me. F-bomb.
Now, this is first game of the third set.
And the first game of the third. What, you're just going to ignore that? First game, you're going to reset the score. She's on the ground screaming bloody murder. Screaming for help. And first game, third set, break point. What in the hell was that medical staff doing? Looking at each other over a snack and just saying, she good? She good? Yeah, she's good. I mean, seriously, what the hell is going on out there? This is a tennis tournament, right? An athletic competition, right? And the only person who tended to the one who was screaming on the court in pain was her opponent. Sarana Cristea. She hops over the net, and she hangs out while the rest of the All England Club medical staff enjoy their tea and crumpets, or strawberries and cream, or Marlboro Reds, or whatever the hell they were doing. According to the New York Times and other reports, it took somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes for a stretcher to arrive. It took 20 to 25 minutes for her to be wheeled off the court. A packed crowd watching in silence as Maddox Sands may as well have just bled out right there on the court. I mean, purple hearts for everybody. Valor for days. There's like 46 ball boys on the court at any given time, but not a single soul can go out there with a towel or a bag of ice for what felt like an hour. Trust me, you put a first serve into the net, there are like six people on the case in a dead sprint. You watch the number one doubles player in the world, Joe Theismann, her leg, and everybody's concrete. Here's how her opponent, who jumped the net, tried to best comfort her opponent while the medical staff finished up their smoke break or whatever they were doing. Here's how she described the scene after the fact.
I did not really see what happened. I saw she was on the floor. And then she started screaming. I went over. I saw her knee out. And then I turned around and told them to bring a stretcher or something, because everyone froze. No one was having any reaction. And then, it was heartbreaking because she went into shock.
You seem to think it took a bit longer than it should be to get the help there.
For me, at least, I was there on the ground and it felt forever. And it was me, her husband, and my physio. It took a really long time for not only for the stretcher to get there, but, I don't know how long she was on the ground, but I would say 10, 15 minutes. And for me, that's really long.
10 or 15 minutes, and it felt like 10 hours. It was just her, her husband, and her physio. It's a good thing that it was a knee and not her heart, or she would have been on a slab of ice by the time they wandered over to court 17. But of course, the tournament's defending their response time, saying in a statement, quote, the first response to court 17 was within 1 minute by a qualified ambulance technician. The player was kept on the court while pain relief was given. The player was then transferred directly into an ambulance and taken under emergency conditions to a hospital. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe check your watch. Maybe you need to change that battery in those gigantic Rolexes hanging on center court. I'm thinking, and this is simply from the feedback that Maddox Sands was giving, that the pain relief was not quite good enough. Whatever they're giving her was not strong enough. I don't hear a lot of pain relief in that. I'm guessing that the All England Club's medical staff is going to need to do some work on its Yelp rating this morning. Because it seems to me a ligament shot right out of her knee, and that medical staff was still waiting for the teapot to whistle. Or smoke break to end. Or whatever. I mean, a brutal, brutal scene and an even worse response time after a terrible injury. When's the last time you heard an athlete react that way to an injury? Audibly. Over mics. I mean, she's in terrible pain. And there's nobody there but her opponent and her opponent's husband? Dear Rome, It was tea time. Eddie and the Hammer. I don't know what time it was. I know it was not time to get a technician to the court as quickly as possible. I know that. So, moral of the story is, if your knee is going to explode, it best not be on court 17 at Wimbledon. They're not getting over there real quick. I mean, she went down like she went down. Let me put it that way. That was not a good scene. In fact, that was a terrible scene. Them trying to act like, oh no, we got there quickly. Our response time was completely appropriate. We were there within 1 minute, and we were giving her pain relief. Does this sound like somebody who's no longer in pain? Come on, gut it out. She's fine. She's fine. Walk it off. F-bombs and pleas for help. Yeah, she's not fine. We are looking ahead to hour number three. What I still want to get to there. Say somebody else who's not fine. That guy who took an errant shot off his dome from Hefty. Hefty nukes a guy's dome. And I'm not sure whether or not that has anything to do with somebody else new being on his bag. But he bounced one off a guy's cranium. And since I'm on vacation next week, I'm trying to jam in a look or two at Smackoff 23. At Hitman Canadian tweets, reporter, Bethany, how does it feel to get the win? Bethany, I shredded my knee. Reporter, yeah, I know, but you still won anyways.
Hi, Nadal, congratulations on your win, and I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
It's a loss. This reporter says to Nadal, congratulations on the win. He said, well, I lost. Oh, I know, it's a win anyway. That's tremendous. You keep telling yourself anything long enough, you'll believe it. At Phil in Missouri tweets, so, when did Nancy Kerrigan start playing tennis? Alex Hernandez tweets, that tennis audio was me as Jerome in Houston got into minute 5 of his take. Was that you, Alex, during Jerome's call? Jerome, help me! Jerome! Bleep! Bleep! As Jerome gets into minute 5 of his call. We will come right back. Third and final hour. Don't go anywhere. As I mentioned, a thought or two on Smackoff 23. The Dodgers with a major comeback. The Nats go Nat-like last night. All that still ahead of more phone calls you're listening to CBS Sports Radio.